I want to say this morning, as I said last Sunday morning, that it's an honor and a privilege to be here with you. We are delighted to be with you today. And I want to say thank you to the elders for asking Carol and I to be with you today. If there's someone in the audience that's got a pair of reading glasses, kind of lightly light magnification, and you wouldn't mind me borrowing them. I walked off and left mine this morning. They're at home. And so if there's anyone, I'm kind of looking over my notes. I think I'll do okay, maybe. But if you've got, somebody's got a pair, if you wouldn't mind bringing them up or sending them up or whatever. Thomas has got a pair here, and that'd be very, very much appreciated. I don't know how someone could get to the point they could forget something as important as some reading glasses.
You're lucky I had to go back and get mine.
Thank you. Okay, these will do fine. Thank you, Thomas. About 4 or 5 weeks ago, when it was really, really hot, and really it was too hot for me to want, the yard was mowed, and it was really too hot for me to want to do anything outside, I decided, well, I'm going to put these days to benefit. And so I sat down and I wrote out 3 different sermons that I'd been thinking about for a while, and especially the one I'm using this morning I'd been thinking about for months, that I wanted to put this sermon together and use it. Now, all week long, I was kind of debating among 2 different sermons. I preached one of them last Sunday morning, and then there were 2 different ones that I was looking at that for this morning, but I've chosen this one, and I pray that be a benefit to each one of us. A person becomes a Christian. They might be a young person, might be a person that's in their 20s, 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s, and so on, but become a Christian. And then the questions start. The questions might be from a friend, a relative, a neighbor, a coworker, might be from a fellow student, might be from a teacher or professors. But the questions begin. Are you a Christian? Yes. Do you believe in the Bible? Yes. Do you believe in Jesus Christ? Yes. Do you believe there's a God? Yes. Do you believe in heaven? Yes. Do you believe in hell? Yes. And so the questions begin. As was just read by Brother Terry, 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and always be ready to give a defense, or some translations say an answer, to everyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. Now, as you would, I suppose, imagine over the years, as a Christian and also as a minister, I've been asked thousands and thousands of questions. And I want to look at 5 of these this morning, share these with you. But as I've had people from the world, people from the religious world, and even people from the Church of Christ, say, I'd like to sit down and I'd like to ask you a question or questions. Over the years, I've come to understand that for many of those questions, they've already decided what they're going to do. They've already made their choice. They've already made their decision, and all they're asking me to do is just verify what they've already decided they're going to do. And for some of them, it is sin in their life that they're not willing to let go. And they've already decided that. And so all they're asking me to do is just to verify and say it's okay for you to do that. And so I've titled my sermon this for this morning. Do you want me to lie to you? Is that what you want? Do you want, you just want me to lie to you and tell you you're okay the way that you are? Again, I want us to look at five different questions, and I'm supposing and guessing probably in some way or other, probably you have been asked these five questions also. Number one, do you think I am lost? Now, they may ask that in different ways and so on, but basically it gets down to the question, do you think I am lost? Now, I want you to listen very carefully. What I think does not matter. And it doesn't determine anything spiritually. Again, what I think. What does the Bible say about it? That is the important thing. Take them where they are religiously and spiritually and ask them some questions. Ask them, do you believe in the God of the Bible? And if they answer, no, I don't believe in God, I don't believe in the Bible, then that person is lost spiritually. Ask them, do you believe in Jesus Christ as the Son of God and as the Lord and Savior of mankind? And if they answer that, no, then that person is lost spiritually. In the Gospel of John, in John chapter 8, verse 24, Jesus said, if you believe not that I am He, you shall die in your sins. Ask them, are you a Christian? And if he or she says, no, I'm not a Christian, then he or she is lost. Ask them, are you a faithful Christian? And if the answer is, no, I'm not a faithful Christian, then he or she is lost. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10, the Apostle Paul says, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad. And then in Revelation chapter 2, verse 10, he said, be thou faithful unto death, and then you will receive the crown of life. The Bible teaches then that one must be a faithful Christian, or that person is lost. Do not lie to them. Teach them. Tell them the truth, but teach and tell them the truth in love. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 15. Tell them the truth. Number two. Again, when a person becomes a Christian, then the questions begin to be asked of that person. Here's a second question. I do not believe in hell. Do you? Oh, I do not believe in hell. Hell is here on earth. Hell is sickness, and it's pain, and it's sorrow. I do not believe in hell. I do not believe that hell is eternal. My God is a God of love, not punishment. Well, what do you say, and what would your answer be as a person asks you a question like that? Well, let us turn to Romans chapter 11, verse 22. Romans chapter 11, verse 22. The Apostle Paul says, therefore, consider the goodness and the severity of God. On those who fail, severity, but toward you, goodness, if you continue in His goodness. Otherwise, you also will be cut off. And then let's turn to the book of Revelation, Revelation chapter 20. We'll start reading verse 10. Revelation chapter 20, verse 10. The devil who deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are. And they will be tormented day and night forever and ever. Then I saw a great white throne and him who sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, standing before God, and books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged according to their works by the things which were written in the books. The sea gave up the dead who were in it, and death and Hades delivered up the dead who were in them, and they were judged each one according to his works. Then death and Hades were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And anyone not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Oh, how much. How much we need to teach the truth about hell today. Hell is real. Those who do not obey God's word will be punished in eternal torment forever and ever. Oh, how much we need to teach that in the church today. Do not lie to them. Teach them and tell them that hell is real. Number three. A third question that is often asked. And this one is a question that is very, very pertinent to our day and time. A person says, I am homosexual. Am I lost? Very, very pertinent to our day and time. That question a few years ago was sent to me from a person in New Orleans. He knew that I knew that he was homosexual, and he sent it through his brother-in-law, and his brother-in-law brought the question to me, and so the answer was sent back through my brother-in-law to him. I am homosexual. Am I lost? Well, in a way, that answer is twofold. The answer is no if you change. If you change. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9 through verse 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9 through verse 11. Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals. Now, I want you to notice that I'm not using the word gay when I'm talking about these individuals. That word's not found in the Bible. But the word homosexual is. He says, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. Now, verse 11. And such were some of you, but you were washed. You were sanctified. You were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. And so the answer would be to people that are homosexuals, no, you will not be lost if you will change and you'll come to God through Jesus Christ the Son. No, you will not be lost. But the answer is yes. You will be lost if you stay in that sin. Turn with me to Romans chapter 1, verse 20. We'll start with verse 26. Romans chapter 1, verse 26. Paul says, for this reason, God gave them up to vile passions, for even their women exchanged the natural use for what is against nature. Likewise, also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burning their lust for one another, men with men, committing what is shameful, and receiving in themselves the penalty of their error, which was due. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a debased mind to do those things which are not fitting. From the beginning of the Bible to the end of the Bible, this sin is condemned. Now, I want to say this to you. My heart goes out to all people in sin, and my heart goes out to people that are involved in this sin. And especially I want to say that my heart goes out to young people that are caught up in this of defending homosexuality, even though they're not a part of that themselves, but they have friends and others that are. And in high school and college and so on, tremendous pressure by teachers and others to try to get them to accept and defend this lifestyle. And again, my heart goes out to them. But this is an immoral, degrading, ugly sin that is condemned throughout the Bible. About 4 or 5 weeks ago, one of the predator players came, what's called coming out, and he said, "I am gay." Immediately, some of his teammates rallied around him and said, "Oh, we support him, we're proud of him," and so on. Immediately, the predator organization said, "We are proud of him." Immediately, the NHL, National Hockey League, said, "We are proud of him," and I believe that they started some kind of scholarship fund in his name and so on. The mayor of Nashville said, "I am proud of him." The current president of the United States, on more than one occasion since he's been sworn in as president, he has said to the transgender community and to the homosexual community, he has said, "You have a president now that has your back." Now, I want to say this, and I want you to understand this clearly. God does not have his back. And this church must not have their back. And me and you as a Christian, we must not have their back. We must not defend them and support them in this homosexual sin that is condemned throughout the Bible. Reading on there in Romans chapter 1, verse 32, the Apostle Paul says, "Who knowing the righteous judgment of God, that those who practice such things are deserving of death, not only do the same, but also approve of those who practice them." Paul is saying, you don't have to engage in homosexuality. You don't have to be involved in that. But if you support them, if you, quote, have their back, then you're just as guilty as they are. Do not lie to them. Just as that one from New Orleans sent the question to his brother-in-law, to me, am I going to be lost with this lifestyle? And according to God's word, the answer is yes. Yes, you will be lost if you stay in that lifestyle. Question number 4. Do I have to be baptized to go to heaven? Oh, I'm a good person. I'm a good husband. I'm a good father. I'm a good employee or employer. I am truthful. I am honest. I help in my community. I believe in Christ. I give to charities and so on. No, I do not go to church services. I don't believe in that. That's not important and so on. Am I lost? If you will, turn with me to the book of Acts, Acts chapter 10. And we'll read verse 1 and verse 2. There was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of what was called the Italian regiment, a devout man and one who feared God with all of his household, who gave alms generously to the people, and he prayed to God always. As we read through the chapter 10, we understand that Peter came to him, spoke to him in his household, and preached Jesus to him. And in verse 47, Peter says, "Can anyone forbid water, that these should not be baptized who have received the Holy Spirit just as we have?" And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. And so the Bible teaches that you can be a very, very good person, but you need to come to God through Jesus Christ the Son. And that includes baptism. Well, others say this: I do attend church services. I confess my faith. I was baptized to join my church. What about me? Well, let's go back to Acts chapter 2, and this will be the first Pentecost after the death, burial, and resurrection of our Lord. It'll be the day in which the church began. And as Peter and the apostles preached Jesus to them, some of them said in Acts chapter 2, verse 37, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" And Peter said to them, "Repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins." Then let's turn to Acts chapter 22, verse 16. This is the story of Saul of Tarsus, who Jesus appeared to him on the way to Damascus. He was told to go into the city and it would be told him what he needed to do to be saved, to become a Christian. And so here, years later, the Apostle Paul, Saul of Tarsus, now the Apostle Paul, he says what he was told to do. Again, Acts chapter 22, verse 16. "And now why are you waiting? Arise and be baptized." Baptized for what? To join a particular church, a particular organization? He says, "Arise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord." The Bible teaches us that baptism is for the remission of sins. Do not lie to them. Teach them and tell them the truth from God's word. Question number 5. And again, this one is very, very pertinent to today, our time, and what is going on in the world about us in our country. And it's this: do I have to attend church services to go to heaven? Do I have to attend church services to go to heaven? The very first year that I was preaching, down at Jackson Temple, get on 96 Highway, is that correct? 96 Highway going towards Dixon. And preaching there, again, first year ever be preaching. Toward the end of that first year of preaching, and I think it was around Christmas time, right before worship service started, two ladies came into the audience. It was very obvious that they knew some of the people there, and some of the people there knew them. To me, they were visitors. And so when I got up to speak, hopefully very warmly, I said, "I want to welcome these two ladies that are visiting to be here with us today." Well, when services were over with, the worship service was over with, and I was back at the door greeting people, I got my ears pinned to the wall. I got my ears blistered. They let me know on no uncertain terms that they were not visitors, that they had been members of that congregation, and they told me how many years, 30 or 40 years, that they had been members of that congregation. They wanted me to know that they were not visitors. They came to church services about once a year. I have friends that still have not come back to church services because of the coronavirus. Last year, of course, it's coming back pretty strong now again. They watch the live streaming of worship services on their computer. There are three programs, two at 7 o'clock and 7:30, two Church of Christ programs. These two are on Channel 17 on Sunday morning. And then on Channel 30 at 8 o'clock, there's another Church of Christ program. And so they watch some of those programs. Just as you have here this morning that we'll take up, they have the little things of the Lord's Supper at home. And so they have not come back for about a year and a half now. They have not come back to the worship services. And so the questions arise, and the talking to each other. Do I have to come back? And do I have to attend the church services? And some have indicated to me they're never going to come back. they're fully satisfied just as they are there at home and worshiping at home. Well, we know, as was said in both of the prayers this morning, that there are those that are elderly and they can't get out. We know there are those that have had surgeries and they cannot get out. There are those that have different illness, sickness, and so on, and they cannot get out. But to answer that question, again, I want to go to God's word. Do I have to attend church services to go to heaven? Turn with me, if you're still there in the book of Acts, go to Acts chapter 2, and we'll read a couple verses there. Verse 41, then those who gladly received his word were baptized. And that day about 3,000 souls were added to them. We know that this is the beginning of the Lord's church after the death, burial, and resurrection of our Lord. We know that this is at Jerusalem, the beginning point of the church. But Luke goes on, he says, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and the breaking of bread and in prayers. He's saying they were steadfast in coming together to worship God. Turn with me to Acts chapter 20, verse 7. The apostle Paul is on one of his missionary journeys. And as he comes to Troas, it says in verse 6, they stayed there 7 days. Now on the first day of the week when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul, ready to depart the next day, spoke to them and continued his message until midnight. And so they met together on the first day of the week to worship God. And part of that worship was taken of the Lord's Supper. Turn with me, if you will, to 1 Corinthians chapter 16, and we'll read verse 1 and verse 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 1 and verse 2. Now concerning the collection for the saints, as I have given orders to the churches of Galatia, so ye must do also. On the first day of the week, let each one of you lay something aside, storing up as he may prosper, that there be no collections when I come. And then Hebrews chapter 10, and we'll start with verse 23. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 23. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, so much the more as you see the day approaching. And so those are four different passages that speak about God requires faithful church attendance. Now, again, I've got some really dear friends. They haven't darkened the doors for the church doors for a year and a half or so now. Some have indicated probably that to me that probably they won't again. They're happy and suiting themselves to stay at home. Don't lie to them, brethren. God's word speaks about the importance of us attending and collectively and publicly worshiping him. There are other questions that we could talk about and study about, but I chose those five that people have asked me and talked to me about, and I'm sure many or all of those questions people have asked you and talked to you about. Let's close our lesson this morning with these thoughts. Daniel Boone was a famous explorer in Tennessee, Kentucky, and Missouri. Of course, Daniel Boone didn't have any maps to use. He didn't have a GPS on his phone and so on. He just explored. And so one time Daniel Boone was asked, "Did you ever get lost when you were exploring in Kentucky and Tennessee and Missouri? Did you ever get lost?" And Daniel Boone said no. But he said, "I once was bewildered for about 2 weeks." I want to say this to you this morning. There are millions and millions and millions of people out there in the world that they're bewildered right now. And yes, the answer is they are lost. Because they have not obeyed God's plan to save lost man. They have not come to God through Jesus Christ the Son. And they're more than bewildered. They're lost. And they're lost right now. What about you this morning? Are you lost? If you have not obeyed God's plan to save you through Jesus Christ, His Son, by coming to Jesus Christ in faith, repenting of your sin, desiring to make your faith known about Jesus to your fellow man, to this audience this morning, and desiring to be baptized for the remission of your sins, then you're lost right now. If you're one that has done that, but you've gone back into the world and you're walking around bewildered like Daniel Boone said he was for 2 weeks. You're bewildered by all the attraction and all the things the world has to offer you. You still kind of want to have one foot in the church, but really you want both feet in the world. Then yes, you're lost right now. If you need to respond, you need to respond to the invitation of Jesus Christ, and you decided that you want to follow Jesus, will you come right now as we stand and as we sing?